Good morning, everyone. A lot of anticipation this week, of course, about President Obama's State of the Union address.
Tomorrow.
We're going to be talking about that on the program. Also, we've got a Super Bowl.
Packers-Steelers.
It's an old kind of Vince Lombardi Super
it's
Bowl.
It's a very classic
old
feel
school,
to
yeah,
it, doesn't
classic
it?
Classic grind it out. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. But we begin in Tunis, where it is 1776. It's been that way for about
that's
a week.
An interesting
the
way
early
to look
light
at.
Of freedom and the overthrow of the dictator in Tunisia, the people of that country are experiencing an exhilaration from their newfound freedom, but also continued violence as government loyalists battle protesters who are angry with the interim government's ties to the former ruling party.
We are here to get our dignity and to get the power to the people again. We lived 23 years of oppression and 23 years of dictatorship. We want to start a brand new life, and we want to get rid of the old regime and the old party.
The old regime and old party associated with the new interim government is the controversy there, and it continues. Those protesters spoke with our partner, the New York Times, which is reporting this morning that the government has shut down the country's most popular private television network and arrested the network's owner. Joining us, we return now to two voices who've helped us to understand what's going on in Tunisia. David Kirkpatrick, Middle East correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Also on the line is Rene Ruda, an American living in Tunis, who has been there for about a year and experienced with her child and her husband the events firsthand over the last several weeks. Rene, good morning to you.
Good morning.
David, let's just begin. For a week now, Tunisians, aside from the violence and the setbacks you've been reporting on, particularly with this private television network, Tunisians have been experiencing a kind of exhilaration of a complete lack of censorship. What's that been like for people?
Well, it's fascinating. You see crowds gathering outside bookstore windows just to gawk at previously banned books on sale now. And some of them are Islamist tracts. The hot one is a kind of scathing biography of the former First Lady, Leila Tbilisi. That's what everybody's really interested in because it was never allowed for sale here before. And you see people walking through the streets handing out flyers for new political parties, and you know, passersby shake their head and say, "My gosh, you could have been arrested for that a few days ago." So it's a heady, exhilarating experience. The biggest opposition party here, the biggest legal opposition party, says it had 1,000 members. Probably it has a lot fewer than that. But now, you know, there's throngs of people wandering into their office trying to figure out what is this political party business about, and a spokesman for their party wandered over to the hotel where all the foreign media is camped the other day to try to hold their first press conference. Of course, nobody was there, but he doesn't know what he's doing. So they're taking little baby steps towards multi-party democracy.
Well, the baby steps are both fascinating and a little bit frightening in the sense that, you know, there's a clock ticking here. And the story that you're reporting this morning of the country's most popular private television network being shut down and the network's owner arrested. Rene Ruda, is there a rumor mill among expatriates living in Tunis about what's going to happen next?
I'm not aware of what people have been saying, but I don't know if they are trying to comfort me as an outsider, as an American. They just continue to tell me that everything will hopefully continue to be quiet. It's kind of hard to get on the inside because I don't speak the local dialect or Arabic, and I don't speak French well, so it's hard to get in to the groups. It's not for a lack of trying, but language is obviously a huge barrier.
Well, sure, you're at a disadvantage there, that's for sure. But you have a report this morning, though, on the schools. Are they going to open this morning? Do you expect the children that you work with and your own child, well, I guess your own child is too young to go to school, but are the schools going to open?
I have two children, and I homeschool my 7-year-old.
Right.
And I know the American school opened up last Thursday, and they're attending school. Last I knew, they weren't doing the bus route because there were still too many barricades in the where people live. There were still barricades, so they weren't providing bus service. But it's my understanding that once the schools get back, that things will start to get better. I know at the end of my street, there's a small private school that had children being dropped off today, but I also live next to a high school And those children haven't returned yet.
Right.
But when the majority of the children are able to get back to school, that's when I've been told by several people that things will really start getting back to normal.
Rene Ruda, an American living in Tunis, has been there for about a year. And, you know, you can hear in her voice a sense of unease and cautious optimism about how things are going. David Kirkpatrick, you know, we've expected that there might be some kind of...
What's happening today at the public schools is the teachers, schools were supposed to reopen, the teachers have declared a strike. We should also update that bit about the network. The network is back on the air.
Really?
Reportedly what happened is an opposition political figure, a liberal, who's inside the new government, even though the new government is dominated by people from the old ruling party, they've brought in a few outsiders. One of them intervened last night to say, hey, wait a second, this isn't how you do it in a free media. Let's get that network back on the air. So the owner, who's related to the former president's family, remains arrested, but the network is now rebroadcasting. So they're trying to figure it out sort of day by day here.
And what's that a sign of, that the network is rebroadcasting?
Well, I don't know. One interpretation here is, you know, old habits die hard. That network was giving a little bit too much airtime to critics of the interim government, and people in the police force shut it down. Now comes a liberal inside the government who says, wait a second, take a break. Let's, you know, there's no need to shut down them. We remember, we have freedom of expression now. You can't do that. Separately, they are moving ahead to arrest more and more people with ties to the old first family, to President Ben Ali's family. And one of the owners of the network is such a person. So there's, and how much of that is real evidence that those people are doing something wrong or stole money under the old regime, and how much of it is sort of a revenge aspect or a desire to placate the crowds in the street that are still chanting, you know, bread and water, no RCD, we
or
want
just
to get rid
an,
of the old ruling party,
an old fashioned an old fashioned purge, right?
Say that again.
It could be just an old fashioned post revolutionary purge.
Yeah, that's right. Although out in the streets, if you talk to the people, they say the revolution isn't really over. We got rid of the dictator, but we still have the dictatorship because they don't trust the old ruling party. And when you see things like the instinctive shutoff of a television network, you sort of can see why.
Yeah, well, the questions are many, and the headlines are many more to come. David Kirkpatrick, a Middle East correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, live from Tunis, along with Rene Ruda, an American living in Tunis, also watching the situation. Thanks to both of you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.